May it please the court. This is a case, this is a judgment made by the district court on summary judgment. And the specific claim to summary judgment was that there was no evidence that my client could produce that would satisfy the elements of the charge that was being made. That particular claim, that type of claim on a motion for summary judgment, does not require my client to come forth with evidence that's admissible at trial in order to rebut what's being claimed. But the judge in this case determined that my client's response lacked specificity as to what it was that she was claiming that she was rebutting. Well, if you look at our response, that's simply not true.
Let me ask you this question. I know the judge makes a mention of Local Rule 56.1, but I wanted to kind of get to a more fundamental point. If you could review for me what evidence she proffered at the summary judgment stage that linked her position as a nurse with her race, that linked the adverse employment action in specific with her race, what evidence would you point to?
First of all, she indicated that she had constantly run into problems with white doctors and nurses who had complained about actions that she was taking. She never had a problem with non-whites. In fact, her supervisors who graded her in the past, she has a master's degree in nursing. She's a captain in the military reserves and has designed protocols and operated on hospital policies for Iraqi freedom. She has credentials that are unbelievable. She's replaced in her position in June by a white nurse who has an AA, none of the experience that she has. And it's done on the basis of complaints of white doctors and nurses. Nothing that she said means anything. Nothing that the prior supervisor, she had worked from 2004, I believe, for VA, up till April of 2006, getting outstanding evaluations, promotions, and everything. And specifically on the issue that's the claimed reason why she was demoted from her position, morale and performance, she had outstanding reviews. Suddenly, from April of 2006 to June 1st, in a matter of less than 2 months, these new supervisors come in.
Jeanette and Stewart, you're talking about when they come in. Yeah.
And suddenly she's out of the door. She's replaced by a white supervisor based on complaints by white doctors and nurses. In the opinion and in the information, it talks about the entire staff was going to rebel and was going to leave the hospital because of her so-called treatment of, again, nurses, okay? The problem is that simply is not backed up by years and years and years of evaluations that say she was doing an outstanding job, morale-wise, and also in the training of the nurses that she supervised.
If problems had come up, I mean, we are supposed to evaluate these things at the time the job action is taken. This was, I guess, a demotion, really, permanently reassigned to these lower-level positions. And there's some indication that the supervisors did point out a problem.
And she addressed them. She always spoke with them. There was the interesting point of this is that these supervisors never evaluated her. There was no evaluation by them. The last evaluation was done in April 2006 and gave her stellar evaluations of her relations with staff and others.
Now, are you arguing this as a direct case or as an indirect case?
It's an indirect case. I mean, we have nothing where somebody says, I hate you because you're black. Uh-huh. There's nothing like that. Okay. So there is some evidence that circumstantially, and this is where you run into, at least I call it the Posner problem of whether it's direct or whether it's indirect.
Well, it's not the clearest. I agree with you.
And so I guess under certain circumstances, you could call it circumstantial evidence that's direct and direct evidence that's indirect. I don't know quite how to phrase it, but So I won't say that there's no direct evidence of discrimination. There's circumstantial evidence that's direct of discrimination. That is, whites are right, blacks are wrong.
You defined a similarly situated employee, and if so, who are you pointing to?
Well, the similarly situated employee is the white nurse who replaced her. You have a white nurse with an AA and no background whatsoever who's put into her position while she's temporarily reassigned to a non-supervisory position and with all the credentials and everything that she has. There's absolutely nothing that supports this idea that she was a non-performer and that she was lowering morale. So my comparison with respect to the issue of the demotion has to do with who it was who replaced her. Why would you put a white AA and say that's better than having this black woman with all these credentials and everything? So that's the problem I have, as well as the specific problem that Judge Duryagan really looked at this thing and said, well, she gave a real complicated affidavit, and I'm not going to whittle it out. Well, but she specified from the affidavit, look at this point, look at this point, look at that point. We spelled that out. So it was very clear and very specific what her objections and denials were. Reasonable inferences in summary judgment are supposed to be with the non-moving, not with the moving. And the reasonable inferences are it doesn't make sense that in a matter of 2 months, this woman would completely change from the way she had been for the last year. She, even in all of the work that she did in other hospitals, she trained nurses in schools and colleges. So why would all of a sudden she disintegrate between April and June in her performance? It just doesn't make sense. Then when we look at the retaliation issue, look at the retaliation issue, we see that she filed a complaint because of her temporary reassignment in June 29th, 2006. That's even cited on page 5 of the response brief. On July 16th of 2006, that temporary demotion is translated to a permanent demotion. In less than a month, she again is given adverse treatment right after she complained of discrimination. Now, their argument is that, you know, they gave her choices to go to different positions, but the different positions didn't accommodate her need to take care of her granddaughter, which everybody was aware of. And she posited to them possibilities as to how she could remedy that situation, which they never accepted. And in terms of the hostile work environment, again, the management here was supportive of the rebellious white doctors and nurses who simply couldn't stomach my client being in the position that she was in. She had to deal with this situation. It was pervasive. You might argue it's not severe. Nobody, you know, hung some kind of mannequin or anything. But it was pervasive. And the standards are it's severe or pervasive, not severe and pervasive. And this was an environment she had to deal with over and over and over and over again until ultimately she was permanently demoted. For all those reasons, we just don't think summary judgment is the way this situation is resolved. I mean, all of the cases, even the cases cited like Celotex by the judge, say that summary judgment in discrimination cases is not supposed to be resolved this way if there's conflicts in the evidence and you have to make judgment. The judge here weighed the evidence. He didn't just look at undisputed evidence and make a decision. Because obviously if he did that, that's a question of law. So we feel that summary judgment was inappropriate in this case. I'd like to reserve the balance of my time.
That's fine. Thank you. Mr. Miller.
May it please the court. The VA had many good reasons to reassign Mrs. Deer to a non-management position. The nurses and doctors that worked with her directly in the emergency department had made numerous complaints about her and had requested her removal in writing at times and had threatened to walk off the job if she remained as the nurse manager.
Now, does the record, as Mr. Andre is suggesting, show that it's the white nurses and doctors who are saying this, not those who are non-whites?
No, that is not established by the record. What I think counsel is referring to is buried somewhere in her affidavit. Ms. Deere makes a statement like, well, there were a couple of disgruntled white workers and doctors, something like that. But that statement doesn't tell you that the doctors or nurses who were complaining about her were all white. It leaves that issue totally ambiguous. She doesn't even name who those doctors and nurses are.
Was she formerly an Army nurse?
She served in the military and did medical service. I don't know if her title was Army nurse or something like that, but she had served in the military. That's correct. So this passing comment is certainly not a sufficient foundation to show that all the complaints against her were by white employees, and, of course, it's her burden to establish those facts if that's her basis for resisting summary judgment. I'd also point out that that theory by Deere at this point contradicts her own deposition testimony. During her deposition, she identified Janetten and Stewart as the two supervisors who had discriminated against her based on her race. And then I went on to ask her, is there anybody else you are claiming discriminated against you based on your race? And her answer was no. So that means she can't now...
What was the race of her replacement?
I'm sorry?
Somebody replaced her. What was that person, yeah, white or...
Yes, the race of the person who replaced her, she was actually an interim replacement, but her race... was white.
And apparently her qualifications significantly lower.
Well, we would say there's really no foundation for that testimony. There's no proper foundation by Deere on that. Again, she makes a passing comment in her deposition, or it's in the brief, where counsel argues that she has less experience and is less qualified than Ms. Deere.
So you're saying there's no competent evidence in the record showing that the replacement had just an AA degree and not the full RN, et cetera?
Right, because there's not sufficient foundation for Ms. Deere's making those statements. It's just not laid out in the record. Possibly she could have laid it out, but that's not done, and, of course, that's her burden to do that. I'd also say, you know, this argument about the replacement is really sort of a super personnel board argument where she just says, well, the person who replaced me had lesser qualifications than me, so it must have been discrimination. Well, that, you know.
Both we and the Supreme Court have said that you can, in fact, look at that, and we've had cases suggesting that there has to be a fairly significant difference. The Supreme Court's actually even cast a little doubt on how much of a difference, but such a wide discrepancy in formal training might well be evidence that a jury would find persuasive.
Well, there may be cases out there where there is that sort of wide discrepancy that would be sufficient under the Supreme Court.
Why not this one?
Well, there's just not sufficient evidence in the record to reach that. Right. There's just passing reference at most that doesn't go through in any systematic way through the foundation for Mrs. Deere's knowledge. How does she know these things about the other nurse? We don't even know that. And really, there's no explanation. It's just sort of passing cursory statement. So that's not sufficient to get yourself to a jury, especially in light of all the other evidence in this case that shows all the problems with Ms. Deere. I'd also say with respect to the replacement, that argument it doesn't get you a jury simply because the reason for Ms. Deere's reassignment had nothing to do with her qualifications or her education. It was purely because of her serious management skill problems. And if that's the basis for you being reassigned, it really isn't relevant or raises only a very, very weak inference if the person who replaced you had less education or something like that.
That's why I was trying to get at what evidence, if believed by a trier of fact in this record, links the reassignment to her race as opposed to alleged management problems. You know, a trier of fact could decide who to believe if there was evidence in the record linking it to a forbidden characteristic.
Well, there is no evidence. There's basically complaints about her education versus her replacement's education. There's complaints about the short tenure that she had, the new supervisors, but again, there's no linkage to the race or her race or any or retaliation or anything else like that.
What about this, you need to change your voice and you need to change your facial expressions?
We don't think that that's a comment that has any sort of racial implication for a number of reasons. One reason is because you could make those exact same comments to a Hispanic or white employee or any other race. You could tell, so of course you could go to a white employee and say, you know, your tone of voice and your facial expressions when you work with your subordinates is really a problem. You're always angry, they always feel inferior, and that you're not helpful. So that that's what tells you it's not a racial comment on its face. I'd also say they're not racial just because of the context in this case. Those comments were not made to her as a form of insult or ridicule or anything like that. The context is she was being given an explanation by her supervisors as to why she was being reassigned out of a management position. And they explained to her, look, part of the reason we're doing this is because really your voice and facial expressions are a problem. You always appear to be angry.
I don't see the "you always appear to be angry" part. Maybe you're extrapolating.
That's actually in Exhibit 2 to the VA's motion for summary judgment, which is a statement by Ms. Deer herself. So she describes the conversation that she had with her supervisors, and she talks about how they said to her, your voice and your facial expressions are always angry, that sort of thing. I'd also add, even if the court were to assume for the sake of argument that somehow those arguments could be racial in some way, and we don't agree with that, but even if the court assumed that for the sake of argument, they are too isolated to get past summary judgment. And, of course, there's many, many cases saying just a few isolated comments that have some racial component are insufficient to beat summary judgment. So they would fall into that category as well. Let me just address quickly the short tenure of her supervisors, which is one of the things the counsel raised. We think that's insufficient to defeat summary judgment because it's really just a critique of their management style and doesn't raise any inference of discrimination in the absence of any other evidence showing that other employees of other races were treated more favorably. And there's just no evidence of that. So when that's the case and you complain about the short tenure of your supervisors, it's just a complaint about management style or management practices. I'd also point out that in this case, there's good evidence that time was of the essence. If you have a whole emergency room full of doctors and nurses saying they're going to walk off the job if Ms. Deer remains as the nurse manager, you don't have time to waste. And making this move after only 2 months is appropriate because you don't want to start losing staff members. So there's a good justification.
So odd, though. I mean, if they're working along happily, and then new supervisors come in, suddenly there's a revolt in the emergency room. Does a jury have to read it the way you are?
Well, actually, I think the evidence shows differently than what counsel suggested as far as whether or not there were problems before those two supervisors. Ms. Deer herself admits in her deposition that there were complaints about her before the new supervisors came in, and in fact, there were requests for her to be removed in the same way as happened with the new supervisors. And I can pinpoint that. That's on page 72 of her deposition. She says exactly that. So this was not something brand new with the new supervisors. I think something did change, which is the new supervisors were more willing to do something about the problem, and that's why she ended up being reassigned at that time. But that's not evidence of discrimination. That's just evidence of good management by the new supervisors. I think the other arguments that have been raised are already addressed in our brief. Not any further questions at this time. We would request that the district court be affirmed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Andre?
Quickly, counsel says that there's nothing that rebuts what was brought out as a revolt. And it turns out that in plaintiff's performance evaluation of April 26, 2006, this is a comment that was made by her supervisor then. It says, "I and all your colleagues within nursing service appreciate your outstanding efforts on behalf of our veteran patients. We are very glad you are part of the nursing staff. May I express my most sincere congratulations on your promotion." This is in April. There's nothing in there about any difficulties with other than some specific white employees. And the answer to what do you do when somebody directly revolts and says, if you don't kick this black woman out, we're going to leave, you say, look, get straight. We don't do that type of thing. So you have to work with this woman and resolve your problems. With regard to the issue of her veteran status, she is a captain in the military reserve. She still is today. And she supervised hospital treatment in combat situations. She has been responsible for improving morale as well as improving performance of our fighting men and women as well as the veterans at VA. There's absolutely no question that her qualifications were superior to the white woman who replaced her. Again, the other point is the cases make it clear in summary judgment that we don't have to present admissible evidence. Counsel's talking about foundation and things of that sort. That's not what's required to answer where there's an argument that there was no evidence whatsoever. We ask that the decision be reversed. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement.